Right. We're just taking a look at what's been happening over the course of the past week. As far as the war in the Ukraine is concerned, it seems to be settling into, it's not quite a stalemate, because what's happened is the Russians seem to be focusing very much on the eastern part of the Ukraine. They're drawing back to that, and the Ukrainian forces have managed to take back some of the areas that were occupied by the Russians in the western part of the country. So the boundary line looks as if it's going to settle somewhere around the eastern part of the Ukraine. And as a result of that, it is a lessening of tensions. And so that's one factor that feeds into financial markets. And so the focus starts to go more towards for what's happening with both inflation, growth in various economies. And as far as the US was concerned last week, interesting data, really, because what it shows is that the US still has a great deal of growth momentum. And you could see it most clearly in the non-farm payrolls numbers that came out right at the end of the week. We had non-farm payrolls rose 431,000 for the most recent month. That's pretty strong reading. And the month before, there was an upward revision to 750,000. So the US economy is generating very strong employment growth at the moment. The unemployment rate has come down below where it was at the beginning of the pandemic now. It's come down to 3.6% from 3.8%. But the corollary of this is we've still got a lot of tension running through wages. We've got a very tight labour market in the US. And average hourly earnings growth in the month of March lifted by 0.4% month on month. That was enough to take the annual rate of change up to 5.6% year on year from 5.2%. So the way to characterise the US economy at the moment is it's an economy which is growing with considerable strength still and is putting pressure on supply chain still. And now it's got the ongoing inflation pressure coming through from wages as well. And this is really what the Fed has to address. And of course, at times, the market is assuming that the Fed's going to be very aggressive, even though the signs so far from the Fed are that it's not proving to be particularly aggressive. You know, its first interest rate hike was only 25 basis points. One or two of the other data points from last week, which suggests strength continuing, we had March consumer confidence came out. This one actually lifted a little from 105.7 going back to February to 107.2. So starting to show some signs of renewed strength running through there. The inflation running through house prices is still considerable in the United States. We had the January Case-Shiller House Price Index came out. And for the most recent month, the month-on-month increase was 1.8% month-on-month for house prices. That lifted the annual rate of change in U.S. house prices across the country to 19.1% year-on-year from 18.6% year-on-year. Yeah, that's a great underpinning for household wealth as far as the U.S. is concerned as well. We had one of the regional manufacturing surveys came out for Chicago, big manufacturing hub, obviously all the way around the Great Lakes there, and the March Chicago Purchasing Managers Index actually bounced substantially. It went from 56.3, was expected to be still in the 56s. It's gone to 62.9. Now, for all these PMIs, once you're above 60, you're in full boom territory. So for manufacturing in the US, really going quite strongly there in the Great Lakes part of the country. Wait and see what comes through with the other regional surveys when they come through. But we also had the March ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, and this one still holding up. It was at 58.6, which was strong going back to the month of February. It's faded a little, but to 57.1, anything in the high 50s is still pretty strong as far as that indicator is concerned. So one of the anomalies you got in the United States, you've got a bond market which is fearing what the Fed might do, and so from time to time you're getting a bit of inversion running through the yield curve. Normally that's a lead indicator that the US is heading towards much weaker growth at some point, but every data point we're getting from the US is suggesting that you've got growth continuing. So that's why you've got a little bit of a dichotomy at the moment, something you don't often see, where bond market's trying to invert. Normally that would be a red warning sign as far as the equity market's concerned, but the equity market is still managing to sustain reasonable growth running through the US. This week in the US, it's going to be much quieter. We haven't got an awful lot of data coming through, but one key data point will be the FOMC minutes. They come out on Tuesday night, going into Wednesday our time. And you know, again, talk tough, but you know, the actions belie that as far as the Fed's concerned. So watching to see what that one does in terms of impact on the bond market. We have the March ISM non-manufacturing purchasing managers index coming out the same night, and that probably going to lift, we think, to 58 from 56.5, so some strength still running through there. In terms of China, we've got a little bit of slippage, and China's worrying in the sense that we had the lockdowns starting to run through Shanghai over the course of this past week or so. This is going to add to supply chain problems because China's reaction to Omicron and its Omicron outbreak, with certain exceptions, Hong Kong's had a very bad Omicron outbreak in the in a special region there, but in other parts of mainland China, the Omicron outbreak is way less than we're experiencing here in Australia, but the policy response from the Chinese has been to lock down, and that's partly because of some concern about the efficacy of people being vaccinated, and the fact that the vaccination rates are actually quite low in China, particularly for elderly age groups. And so this is causing a great deal of difficulty. It's one of the reasons why the Chinese are locking down. We're starting to see a little bit of the problem in the purchasing managers' indices that came out. So we had the March manufacturing PMI, non-manufacturing PMI came out, both showing some slippage. So the manufacturing PMI is down to 49.5 from 50.2. Non-manufacturing PMI is down to 48.4 from 51.6. And we had the CAICSIM manufacturing PMI, the private sector version, and that's down to 48.1 from 50.4. So a little bit of slippage running through the data in China. The data in China has been really erratic over the course of this past month. Some of the February readings we had for industrial production, private fixed capital expenditure and retail sales were all quite strong. But these PMI readings are actually suggesting that, if anything, things are going to be a little bit weaker going ahead rather than stronger. Then we come to Australia, and we've got strength running through the data. We had February retail sales data came out last week. It was expected to be up 1%. This was after rising 1.8% the month before. It came in at 1.8% again. So these are very, very strong readings coming through for retail sales. Home building approvals came out, and these have been very erratic over the course of the last month or two. Back in January, we had a very substantial fall in home building approvals of 27.1%. And this was taken as a sign that perhaps home building industry, with the costs that are running through there, the difficulty getting labour, the supply of housing starting to tighten up quite a bit of new housing. Well, in February, we thought we'd get a bounce, a partial bounce of about 9 or 10%. We got a bounce. It was 43.5%, so a massive rise in home building approvals running through the month of February. It was predominantly in applications to build new home units, but even freestanding houses were up over 10% month on month. So, as I say, volatility, we've gone from a very, very weak home building approvals month in February to one which is one of the strongest on record for the month of February. So very, very difficult determining exactly what's happening in that particular space. It's a little bit clearer when we look at what's happening with housing loans. We had new housing finance commitments came out for the month of February. And going back the month before, still had a good increase. In fact, we'd had several months of good increases going from November, December through January. In January, we had a 1% lift in the value of home loans. That came off quite sharply in the month of February, down by 4.7%. And we've had some private sector house price information, which suggests that we're getting quite a split now in the housing market. Some of the smaller capital cities in Australia are still experiencing very strong price growth, and the regions are still experiencing exceptionally strong price growth. But both Sydney and Melbourne, house prices now starting to fade off, not dramatically, remembering that in both those cities were up well above 20% year on year for house prices, and the month on month now, just starting to see minus 0.7s, minus 0.8s, that sort of territory starting to run through. So a sign that we're just starting to see the beginnings of the peaking as far as home loans are concerned. The other big event, of course, last week was the budget, and it was a pre-election budget, as expected. A lot of spending. There's a huge dividend from strong economic growth and also very high commodity prices coming back to the budget. That was worth in excess of $30 billion to the budget bottom line for the current financial year. Well, of that $30 billion, they spent close to $9 billion of it just in this current financial year. So what should have come in as a budget deficit on forecast around the $70 billion mark, the underlying budget balance is $79.8 billion, according to Treasury figures. That's way down from the $134.2 billion deficit for 2020-21. But it should have been quite a bit less than that. And where you see it most clearly is that when you look at Treasury's forecasts, massive real GDP growth. They've got forecasts for 2021-22 at 4.25%. Nominal GDP growth, 10.75%. They've got the unemployment rates coming down relative to 2021 from 5.1 to 4. It's actually going to come in better than that, we think. And they've got wages growing. So you've got a massive growth dividend coming through to future budgets. Well, when you look at what they're forecasting for the underlying cash balance for the budget deficit, it goes from minus $79.8 billion on their figures to minus $78 for 2022-23. That gives you some idea of the amount of money which is being spent from the budget between now and June of 2023. Over a 10-year period, there's more than $40 billion of additional spending running through the budget that was brought down. So this is obviously a pressure point because it's adding to demand in what is already a very strong economy. Some of this is very near-term cash going to people who are going to spend it too. We've got the $250 one-time payment, which is going to pensioners and those who have pension cards. And we've also got the $420 special tax benefit, which will come as soon as people put in their tax return at the end of June for all those running up to over $90,000 of income. So, and on top of that, you've got the halving of the excise duty, which is immediately cutting into petrol prices that people are paying. So there's a lot of stimulus which is coming through from this budget. The short-term stimulus has already been passed, so the opposition wasn't going to stand in the way of that in the parliamentary session immediately after the budget. So this continues to put pressure back to the RBA. This week, the RBA meets on Tuesday. I doubt very much whether they're going to be touching the cash rate this time. They've still got a lot to turn their guidance around as far as interest rates are concerned. For the time being, they're still saying that low wages growth is still going to allow them a little bit of leeway and to be patient for a little while longer. That's obviously problematic when you look at the number of pay disputes which are occurring here in New South Wales now, for example, in the public sector, which is one of the key areas which has been holding wages down. A strong suspicion is that they'll be able to hold out perhaps till June before they have to start lifting interest rates here. Some of the data that's coming through here too, today we have ANZ job ads. This just shows how tight the job market is. Last month it's up 8.4%, it's up 90% year on year, expected to be even tighter still with the number that comes out today. We get the inflation gauge, which is put out by Toronto Dominion for the month, and that's likely to be pretty high and just be a forerunner to the CPI, which comes out at the end of this month. The CPI is going to be around 1.4-1.5% quarter on quarter when it comes out later this month. That will take the annual inflation rate well above 4% year on year. On Thursday, we have the trade balance coming out. The expectation there is that there may be a little bit of slippage perhaps in the trade surplus, but the trade surplus was running at a record high going back to January, $12.891 billion, much of that's down to the value of commodities on the export side. So something close to that $12.891 billion is probably likely for the February trade balance, still a lot of strength running through there. And then on Friday, the RBA brings out its half-yearly financial stability review. This will be interesting in terms of their discussion around housing and the quality of lending going to housing. So that will be worth a look just to see whether they have any particular concerns about that. 6 months ago, they didn't. As far as they were concerned, the household sector was in pretty good shape in terms of the way in which it could meet higher interest rates if they came through. There'll be more talk about that in the financial stability review on Friday. As far as Europe's concerned, last week we had the March Business and Consumer Confidence Survey. It slipped, but not as much as you might expect, given the war in Ukraine is obviously much closer in Europe. And it came back to 108.5 from 113.9 going back the month before. The unemployment rate came down for the month of February, down to 6.8% in Europe from 6.9%. That's a new more than 20-year low. So still a tightening labour market running through Europe. And another figure which just shows how inflation's racing away. We had the March CPI came out. The market thought that the inflation rate in Europe would go up from 5.9% year on year, going back to February, to 6.5%. It went up to 7.5%. So even with high expectations of inflation, those expectations being beaten, and in the very near term, we got these very, very high inflation readings. The core CPI wasn't quite as bad because most of it was an underestimation of energy prices in the CPI. But the core CPI went up from 2.9% to 3.2%. So, again, it just highlights one of the big issues at the moment, and that is with the type of inflation we've got and the underpinnings for growth in many parts of the world, you would expect that central banks would have been aggressively lifting interest rates already. They're talking about lifting interest rates down the track, the most aggressive talk coming from the likes of the Fed, but the actions of the central banks are still modest. Where they are moving, they're moving by a quarter of a percentage points at a time, in the case of the Fed, they've got a 7.9% inflation rate in February. Their inflation rate comes up in a couple of weeks' time. They're going to be through 8%. And here they are moving at quarters. They're talking a lot tougher than that, but they're not doing it. The bond market's taking them on their talk rather than what they're actually doing. So we've got the potential for quite a bit of volatility here. It also helps to account for the dichotomy you've got at the moment where bond markets have sold off a great deal over the past month. In fact, it's been the worst bond market month for 30 years. But the equity market is still managing to hold on to gains, still reacting to the reality of growth, which is still pretty strong in many of these economies, and especially so down here in Australia.